back when they were doing the marches nationally, Selma to Montgomery, in fact, there were three marches in 65 that perhaps marked the peak of the civil rights movement.
Well, the one on March 13th here.
How did that come about?
Clarence Canepa, Norbert Rosenthal, and I, and somebody else, we were talking about going to Selma. A couple guys were going and did. And we said, we better stay here. We need to stay here. Tulsa needs it as much as Selma does. So we decided to have a service here, which we did at All Souls, in which I think it was either 50 or 70 members of the clergy served as ushers. Over 700 people actually physically attended, as many as we could get in the parish hall and the sanctuary. Most beautiful thing, Vernon Avenue Methodist.
Ben Hill.
Ben Hill gave the invocation, bringing down the wrath of God. But the best thing was, Warren Holcren, First Baptist, Southern Baptist Church, read the Old Testament, and Father James McNamee of Madeline Parish, Roman Catholic, read the New Testament back to back. Norbert Rosenthal preached the sermon.
How about black ministers from North Tulsa? Were they participating?
Well, Ben Hill.
Calvin McCutcheon, was he at the time?
Cal McCutcheon, I hate to say this, but he never was there when we needed him.
So he was on the scene, and he was here in Tulsa.
Yeah, he was here.
But never came.
It was Andy Phillips, Ben Hill, Leroy Jordan, to First Baptist, North Side. And I've forgotten some of the rest. There was a bunch. Kurt Yonker. Good old Kurt.
So in that service that morning,
we had the choir of angels, which was black. Oh, yeah, it was a very mixed service.
So you had the service, and then you marched.
Well, the 13th of March, 1965.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We wanted to be able to get Beth Emunah involved. We had no trouble with Temple Israel, but Beth Emunah had Orthodox Jews, and they can only walk so far on the Sabbath. So we figured out a way to do it. We had the service at All Souls. Then we went to Holy Family and marched from Holy Family to the post office. We just picked the whole thing up, moved it so that they could walk it. Oh, God, it was a bunch of great people, just great people. We were tight. We were really tight. Later on, Clarence and I became very, very, to this day, he's still alive, 95, I think he is. As I've always said, if the Missouri Synod Lutherans don't canonize him, the Unitarians will. Great, great man. He and I went to Israel together. He called me up and he said, "Don, who are you rooming with?" And I said, "I don't know, Clarence."
"You?"
He said, "Well, I got to have somebody likes these snops." The old German.
So how big of a march do you think that was? How many people were in it?
Oh, at least 1,000. Another interesting sidelight of that one was Jack Purdy was the chief of police. He was not sympathetic at all, but boy, he did a great job. He saw to it. It was very interesting as we were marching down. You'd see these rednecks on the side. There'd be a plainclothesman standing right behind them. It's just plain as day. Jack had crowd control. He did a great job.
So there had to be thousands of people watching this, too, in addition.
There were a lot of people watching.
But there were no skirmishes?
No skirmishes. At the steps of the Curtis Lawson, I think. Whether he was senator or something, Curt Lawson?
Yes,
he was. He addressed the crowd. He was black.
Yeah.
Who was a later senator? He was just a young guy then. He and I used to sit up in Penny Williams' living room in the deeps of night arguing, screaming at one another about one thing or the other. And, oh, God, he later became senator. Anyway, I said, well, most segregated hour of the week is on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And
you're not talking about Don Ross.
Right? Yes, I'm talking. That's exactly.
He was a state representative.
That was it. I said, "You're as Unitarian as I am." I said, "Now, when you get over here," he says, "John," he says, "that church is white on the outside, it's white on the inside."
What did you think about your largely white congregation and trying to bring blacks into your congregation?
As I said, we covered the spectrum when I came to town.
So you had blacks attending?
Not yet. It had to have been the first couple of years, 61, 62, because Sally Campbell and Francis Campbell got a new doctor. He was a graduate of Harvard Medical School, black. they started going to him and became friends. And the doctor and his wife were looking for a church. They were shopping for a church. And Francis and Sally brought him to All Souls. Whereupon, a handful of people in the congregation protested. It had to have been early because Curtis Bryan was still the president of the congregation, and he was the first year I was here. Curtis said, well, the bylaws of the church say that anybody of any race, creed, color, national origin, or sex, literally, that's what it said, is welcome to be a member of this congregation. And if you want to change the bylaws, you can do that. You'll have to petition to do it. They drew up a petition, I think there were 17 names on it. Most of those people left the church. A couple of them still hung in there. That most of them left over a period of time. There was that even at All Souls.
But even up until the time that you took emeritus status, I've heard you say that one of the disappointments about your tenure at All Souls was that despite there being 10% of the population of Tulsa, the church never really had anything other than token representative from the black community.
The most black members we ever had were 21. At one time. We always have had black members, a few, but 21 was the best we were ever there. That's one of the reasons we started Church of the Restoration. As I said to Leroy Jordan out there on First Baptist Church, we bought this little building, originally Junior League had had it, used it for a well baby clinic years and years before. And we got that place and moved in, and I said, if you can't move Muhammad to the mountain, you move the mountain to Muhammad. He said, great. He was just delighted that we were coming out there.
Did that work?
Did for a while. And then the denomination helped us to screw it up.
The denomination?
Yeah. I had an agreement with them that we would subsidize that congregation. I think it was $50,000 a year or something like that, that we would help get it going. And we would seed it. We would never have more white members than there were blacks. That was the deal. I could have gotten 300 people to go out there. But I said, no, we're not going to do that because we're going to just have enough to get it going and to make it integrated. But that's all. And that's what we did for a long time. But then we lost the minister. He went to one of the seminary to teach. And the next minister was the one that the denomination had sent to us, and he was gay. I don't have to tell you, the homophobia in the black community is a phenomenon. Was then, still is, to some considerable extent, certainly in Tulsa. And we lost half our black members just like that.
Was that apparent when he first came? Or had he been here a while? Or
no.
He came announced?
Almost instantly. Then it was a series of things. And then they welched on their deal to help support the thing. So we took over the whole matter then. But even so, even though we're talking about moving downtown, which may or may never happen, I suppose.
Today in 2011.
But part of the problem there is we've already got a church out there. Church of Restoration is still there. They still have something of a congregation, and they've had some remarkable people in that congregation. Dorothy DeWitty was a member of that, and so on.
Martin Luther King, when he came on the scene, he would come to Tulsa. Did you ever see him in person here?
Not in Tulsa. I saw him in person, yeah.
Where?
At locations. He spoke before the American Unitarian Association one time, and then I ran into him in a hotel one time in Miami.
You speak with him?
Yeah.
What was that about?
Hello. You know, that was it. He had an entourage with him. He must have had 15 people around him.